while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
So good morning, church. It's lovely to be here. And first things first, I want to say something. We need to even the score, ladies. Okay, because I was just sitting there, I was thinking, okay, we'll see. So are there any ladies in the house? Yes! What do you think, Pastor? Okay, so ladies, we're in the house. So first of all, I just want to say it's an honor to be here. It's a real pleasure. While I was preparing for today, I was thinking to myself, isn't it amazing how God always saves the best for last? If you think about it, or if you recall with me, when in the at the wedding in Cana, Jesus left the best wine. Remember, and the steward was saying to the groom, saying, how come you left the best till the end? And I was thinking to myself that when God was creating, guess who He left till the end? And so, then it kind of got me thinking that this is supposedly the last in the series of the Kickstart messages. So guess what, ladies? Are there any ladies in the house? Yes! So God always saves the best till last. So here we are. So I understand that over the last few weeks, there have been a series of messages that are, have been there to challenge you. And I'm hoping that today, as we consider the topic of inner and outer beauty, that I will continue that challenge. So we're going to start off with looking at the text which was read for us by our sister Sumi. And it's right there. I'm just going to focus on the last verse, which was verse 16. It says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." And God's goal for us as His people is that we grow, we mature. I recall hearing Pastor Didi speaking, I think it was a few weeks ago, when he kickstarted this series, and he was talking about, is it Mandate for Maturity? And he was talking about the fact that as Christians, we need to grow up. And so that's God's goal for us, to grow up. And that is why we're meant to have a walk with Jesus, a daily walk with Jesus. What we do here on Sunday is not our walk. So let's just throw that out of our minds, And the key thing is, in being more and more like Him, we die to ourselves. Paul said, "I die daily." He didn't say, "I die weekly," or "I die monthly," or "I die annually." He said, "I die daily." And the whole point of dying daily was so that Jesus could be seen in His life and experienced through His life. And guess what, brothers and sisters? That is what God wants for us too. We are not exempt. If we're walking in Jesus' footsteps, and even Paul said, he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." If we're following these giants, we have to do what they did. They are an example for us. And, God speaking through Paul, that sentiment of a day-by-day renewal is also echoed by Peter. When Peter says, clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within. The inner disposition of your heart, the hidden man, the part that people don't necessarily see, but it has an unfading beauty about it. It's about a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so, so precious to God. And when you read that, you might think that God is asking us to be very quiet. And I will be the first person to put my hand up to say that is not the case, because I'm certainly not a quiet person. I do have quiet moments, but that's not what that scripture is talking about. So the whole point really is the fact that it's the hidden man, the inward man. And interestingly, that word for heart, it says inner disposition of your heart. It's the same word that Peter uses, is the same word that Paul used when he said the inward man is being renewed on a daily basis. So, does that then mean Okay, we have a bit of a technical. Right, so does that mean that we don't look after our outer selves? Does it not matter? Well, guess what, ladies? God created us with beauty wired into us. Did you know that? Who agrees? Because, and you see, that is why we have a propensity to want to make things beautiful. It's just the way he made us. Now, men, I'm not saying that you don't have that tendency. But in general, it's a woman who tends to beautify things. You know, and that's why if you compare our wardrobes to a man's wardrobe, who do you think would win? When we first got married, so many years ago, about 21 years ago, you know, obviously I moved into my husband's apartment, and one day I actually overheard him talking to a friend, and he said, I never knew women had this much stuff. He said, I've had to empty out things just so she can store all her clothes and things. You know, but that's just the way God has made us. We're hardwired for beauty, and it's a very integral part of who we are. You know, but one key thing that I'd like to point out is that I was looking at some statistics the other day, and what if I told you that the global beauty industry is worth $532 billion? What would you say to that? Wow, indeed. But you know what it does? It just confirms what I've said to you. That, you know, women, we just have this thing about being beautiful, you know. The sad thing, or the unfortunate thing, though, is that this money is being invested or put up for a beauty that fades and that is fading. There's nothing we can do. From the day we are born, we start to decay. It's as simple as that, you know. But does that mean that we don't look after our outer selves? No. And a bit later on, we'll see why. You know, but the key thing about this whole thing about, you know, outer versus inner, your outer beauty just reveals what you look like. You look at me, you might think, oh, you know, that's what my outer beauty just tells you what I look like. But my inner beauty reveals who I am, my identity. And you know, everything we do stems from our identity. Think about it. Every single thing you and I do stems from our identity. And this is why it is so, so important to cultivate our inner beauty. That's the reason why. Pastor, you were saying that, you know, we are sons of God. If you don't know that you are a son of God, how will that impact on your behavior? If you do know that you are a son of God or a daughter of Zion, how does that impact your behavior? And this is why inner beauty matters. It reveals who you are. So I'm going to just give you a few, something to think about, I've called it. Now, this is from a song by an artist called Mandisa. It's called True Beauty, and I just love the lyrics because the lyrics echo what we're talking about today. It says on there, it says, doesn't come in a bottle, doesn't come in a box. You can't spray it on, you can't wash it off. You can't nip and tuck, you can't sew it up. So don't waste your time. She then goes on to say, it's the love in your heart, the peace in your soul, the hope in your smile. Let the whole world know, this little light, you gotta let it shine. Okay? So it's interesting, when I came across those lyrics, or when I was thinking about it, I thought, oh, I know what I'm going to share. The first half of those lyrics obviously talks about what we just talked about, $532 billion. And then the next paragraph talks about our inner beauty, the bit of us that doesn't fade away, the part that, in quote, no one sees, but really, it is seen, isn't it? It is. And so, how do we cultivate this inner beauty? You know, when I think about the word cultivate, does anybody here love gardening? Yeah, any gardeners in the house? Yeah. Now, that word cultivate is an agricultural term, isn't it? It doesn't just happen. If you've ever walked by something beautiful, it doesn't just happen. Something was done to get that beauty to show through. And so, we need to be deliberate is what I'm saying. You know, everyone in this room was deliberate about looking presentable, I hope. Yeah? And so the same it is with our inner beauty. We need to spend time. It takes consistency, it requires time. And a few things, this list is not exhaustive, but I just thought to share some of them. One of them is to spend regular quality time with Jesus. So there's time and there's quality time. We know the difference, don't we? Yeah. Very, very important. You know, we become the company we keep. Yeah. Whether we like it or not, whoever we hang around with rubs off on us. And so when it comes to spending time with Jesus, you know, through prayer, solitude, praise, worship, you know, he's meant to rub off on us. You know, and you know what? When you spend time with him, he gives you a radiance that you will never find in any jar. You just won't find it there. And so the key thing with him is, you know, I always think, I mean, I love fragrance. And, you know, God is calling us or has called us as his people to carry his fragrance with us wherever we go. But you know what? There are different concentrations of fragrance. Yeah? We can start off with pure perfume all the way down to what is known as eau fraiche, which is 1 to 3%. Pure perfume is about 20 to 30% constant, you know, perfume oils in there. But you know the key thing, the reason why they're so different is because the more concentrated the perfume, the longer it lasts. You don't have to keep topping up. And so when I think about it in those terms, if we want to catch and carry Jesus' fragrance with us, we're going to have to spend time with him. And so part of my challenge is to ask, what concentration of his presence do you carry as an individual? Is your Jesus impact, is it long-lasting? Or is it easily forgotten when you meet people? So that's just something for us to think about. The other thing also is to yield to the Holy Spirit. You know, that word yield, allow. You know, when Jesus was leaving the earth, he, you know, said, I'm not going to leave you on your own. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. But you know what? The Holy Spirit, I liken him to our inner beauty expert. He's resident in us. But you know what? We have to work with him, you know, to cultivate holiness and to develop the fruit of the Spirit. God never wanted us, he never intended for us to do these things on our own, you know. And the thing about holiness is so attractive to God. You know, earlier on we were saying, Holy Spirit, fall on us, fill this place, stir up a passion for your name. When there is holiness, God is attracted to it. Do you know why? Because he himself is holy. So if we're going to develop holiness, we need to learn to yield all the parts of our lives to the Holy Spirit. There's no part that is off limits for him. And the key thing about the Holy Spirit is this. He is a helper. He is not a dictator. He is not the holy dictator. He is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Helper. And guess what? I can't help you if you don't want to be helped. And so that's the other thing that we can do in terms of cultivating inner beauty. Another key thing is the Word of God. The Word of God should have a permanent home in our hearts. The Word of God should not be a guest. You know, guests come and go, don't they? But if you live, the Bible says that let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in abundance. So much so that, you know, when Jesus was talking, he was saying that for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. What is in your heart? Is it the word of God? Do you make time to read the word, to meditate on it, to memorize the word? Not just on a weekly basis, but on a day-to-day basis. Very, very key. You know, whatever goes in comes out. And so if we want to be in a position to speak wisdom into situations, to have guidance, to have directions, we need to spend time in the Word. The Bible calls the Word. It says that it's, you know, we should undergo the washing of the water by the Word. The Word of God cleanses us. We live in a dirty world. Let's call it what it is. And it's the Word of God that cleanses our minds and helps us to renew our minds. Now, the last thing I'm going to talk about for this slide is the fact that we need to apply what we learn. You know, God through Paul was talking about some people in, I think, the book of Timothy, where he was saying that there are some women who, and this applies to men too, who they're constantly learning, but they never come to a place of truth. The only way we can come to a place of truth is when we apply the Word of God. Otherwise, we are deceiving ourselves. And so it's very, very important that we practice what we learn. We want to be hearers and doers of the Word. Okay. And so I'm also now going to make a case for outer beauty. You know, because some of us think, oh, you know, it might be on some people, not some of us, some people might think it's unscriptural, it's not biblical to look after your body. You know, but as Pastor Deji was saying, you know, I'm someone who I advocate for and I coach women on, being beautiful inside and outside. So, you know, just because we love Jesus doesn't mean then that things like our hair, makeup, and clothes are unimportant. You know, it means they are important. But guess what? They are not our focus. They're important, but they are not our focus. And the reason why I'm saying this is because, you know what? Interestingly, this scripture was shared earlier on, 1 Samuel 16:7. We know the story. God is saying to Samuel, I need you to anoint a king for me. He goes, he sees the guys. In fact, the Bible says that. He says, when he saw the first son, Eliab, he said he looked and he thought, this is the one. So when people see us, guess what, people? They look and they think. Fill in the blank. Okay? And so our outward appearance is how the people who are in with us in this physical world judge us or assess us. Maybe a better word. You know, and so as good stewards, you know, God has given us our bodies as a gift. As good stewards, we ought to make an effort to invest in taking care of it. Primarily because also that we are his temple. If you are a Christian here today, guess what? The living God lives in you and he lives in me. Why wouldn't we beautify the temple of our God? Okay. And so how do we do that? Once again, not an exhaustive list, just a few things to get you thinking. You know, eat right, stay hydrated, very important. If you hang out with junk food or food that's not nutritious, guess what? The result will be, I leave that there. The other thing also is to move more and to manage stress. I mean, it's been a very stressful time, hasn't it, these last 18 months? It's been stressful. Many of us have had to be cooped up in the house and, you know, put a few pounds on. So those are just some things we can do. You know, I won't go into too much detail, but one thing I kind of discovered is that ladies are having an exercise class. Am I right or am I wrong? Yeah, am I right? Yeah. So either there's an exercise class that's coming up or has been run, that's fantastic. It's really, really good. We need to move more. God didn't create us to be couch potatoes. Okay? Another key thing is quality sleep. Who has ever had a bad night of sleep? How do you feel in the morning? The whole day is just bad. So quality sleep matters. You know, there was a time when it was a badge of honor to function on maybe 3 hours of sleep. I don't subscribe to that anymore. I like my sleep. And we need to aim for 8 hours. Aim. Aim. Aim for 8 hours. Invest in a good mattress. It's worth every penny. Okay, and also to remove distractions. You know, our phones. We live in a world that is always on, 24/7. We need to learn to shut down and rest, you know. And then the final thing is, I'm going to touch on, you know, let's not neglect our appearance. Very, very important. You know, get a wardrobe appraisal. No, seriously, get a wardrobe appraisal. I do that for people. it's important to go through your stuff. What works, what's not working. Embrace, you know, God, like I think earlier on it was shared that, you know, how God made us unique. We're all different. We have so many different faces in this room. We're not all the same. Ladies, God has given you your body shape. Embrace it and dress according to your body shape. Accept the fact that not every style is for you. It's okay. I have. And that way you work to enhance what God has given you. Learn to use makeup if that's your thing. But use makeup in such a way that it enhances you. It doesn't hide you. You know, or as my husband says, it doesn't overtake you. You know? I did a bride's makeup for her wedding, and her key request was, she said, I want to see myself when I look in the mirror. That was her desire, and we did get there in the end, you know. But it's all about enhancing. It shouldn't be like once your makeup is off, we think, who are you? Very, very important, yeah? And another key thing is obviously there's skincare. I mean, there's a lot. We can't unpack everything today. Maybe some other time. But it's just to get you thinking about these things. You know, color. Who isn't glad that God made, you know, color? I love color, as you can tell. I just feel that color has a way of lifting your mood. It has a way of just changing things, you know. So make use of color. It's not a bad thing. And so we've been talking about clothes. You know, I've said get a wardrobe appraisal. You know, our clothes and our appearance are a very, very, very powerful means of communicating. Remember what I said about Samuel? He looked and he thought. So we need to ask ourselves, what do our clothes say about us? What are we communicating to the world around us through how we dress? And it brings me to this scripture in 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, where God is speaking through Paul, and he's speaking to the first century church, and he's saying, you know, women, you know, adorn yourselves with respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with gold, pearls, expensive clothes, or braids. Now, on the surface, it looks as though, you know, God is saying, you know, don't do your hair, don't wear gold, don't wear jewelry, and all of that. But is that really what God is saying? I think we need to understand the context into which Paul is speaking to the first century church ladies. Now, Paul was speaking to women who were living in the times of the Roman Empire. And, you know, he was just warning the ladies in church against imitating, you know, these women who were part of the Roman courts and prostitutes. And he was saying that, you know, these women, they were known for their, you know, very elaborate hairstyles, showy clothes, and, you know, expensive clothing. That's what they were known for. And what Paul was saying was, he was saying that, you know, these women, when they dressed in the morning, they had an agenda. They dressed not just to attract, but to seduce. And that is the context that Paul was speaking into. And in fact, if you look at Proverbs 7, verse 10, it says, talking about another woman in another time, it said she came to meet him dressed like a prostitute. She was seductively dressed, having a hidden agenda. She is loud and defiant. And if we think back to one of the scriptures we looked at, you know, contrast that loudness and defiance with a gentle and quiet spirit. And contrast that also with modesty and self-control. And so all Paul was saying really was, you know what? These women, you're not to be like them. And if we say we love Jesus, we've died to the world, we cannot be like the world, can we? It's very sober now. It's very, very sober. Please talk to me. I'm talking to myself as well, okay? So what is God really saying when he's sharing that scripture? What he's saying is that attractive clothing is not the issue. It's not. God is not saying don't wear beautiful clothes. Oh, no, 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 no. What God has an issue with is the association between certain clothing or certain appearances with worldly and ungodly values. That's God's key issue. Why? Because the Bible tells us that you cannot be a friend of the world and be a friend of God. We cannot serve two masters. Yeah? There has to be a time in our lives when we make a choice. Pastor Deji was praying earlier and he spoke about choice. We have to make a choice. And so the whole thing really is that as godly women, we are not to dress to resemble those who are, you know, they have their agenda is not a godly agenda. Not in church and certainly not at any time. As a Christian woman, if I see you in church and I see you outside, you should be one and the same. Some people feel that it's okay to dress a certain way to come to church and it's okay to dress a certain way to go elsewhere. We're not schizophrenic. We have integrity. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave us once we leave church. We don't stop being holy once we leave church. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, who inspires our wardrobe? Who inspires us? Are we trying to beat at the celebrities who are on the magazines? Do we take their lead? Or are we happy to follow what the Word of God tells us? So the whole thing about clothing and appearance is we are not to identify with our sinful worldly culture through our appearance. And that's that about that, really. And so the other thing I wanted to share was, you know, while I was preparing this, I was thinking, I think it would be nice to share some male perspectives. Now, you might not be able to read that, but, you know, I'll do the reading. You know, so this is what, these are real life men, just two of them. What they've said about female appearance. It's, one of them says, every day is a battle against temptation. I have to actively engage my mind through praying, quoting scripture, listening to worship music, or looking at the pavement to make it through. To the women who don't follow the pattern of the world, thank you a million times over for helping your brothers in Christ by your obedience to God's word. That's a real life Christian brother. Not necessarily here, but real life person. Second one says, the one place I might think I wouldn't have to face much temptation is at church. When a woman dresses immodestly, it doesn't make it easy to see her as a sister in Christ. I think some women aren't aware that even little things can distract men a lot. When women dress modestly, it is attractive. We read scripture, we say, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Be your brother's keeper. That's a call. That's a challenge to us, ladies. Now, I'm just going to, as we kind of start rounding off, I want to share, incidentally, the Proverbs 31 woman and I think Queen Esther were both mentioned earlier. Now, I just want to very quickly whiz through this, but just to kind of show us that, you know what, it is attainable. All that we're talking about this morning is not pie in the sky. It can be done. You know, when we read Proverbs 31, we find out that she didn't neglect her appearance. It says she's clothed in fine linen and purple. She worked on her inner beauty, and this reflected in all her dealings. When you can, go through Proverbs 31 and you'll see. I've just pulled a few things. It says she's clothed with strength and dignity. She speaks with wisdom. There's faithful instruction on her tongue, you know. And the key thing is she recognized both inner and outer beauty, but she definitely prioritized inner. Why? Because right at the end, her husband says that, you know, charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. So it's no use spending $532 billion on it. But a woman who fears the Lord, guess what, sisters? She will be praised. It's not maybe she will be. Why? Because she fears the Lord. Guess what? She has wisdom. She has honor. She has all these things that our world needs desperately. If we look at Queen Esther, once again, you know, I'm all for beauty treatments. Imagine having beauty treatments for 365 days of the year, every single day. You know? And yet, she outshone every other woman. Don't forget, when they were selected, they were all beauties, physically. So what was it in Esther that captured the heart of a tyrant king? King Xerxes wasn't a bunny, you know. what caught this unbelieving king's heart. It certainly wasn't her outer. Her inner beauty shone. It shone. Incidentally, her name also means star. And you know, God has called each and every one of us to be a star. We need to shine. You know? And the other thing about Esther, that, you know, we talk about it so easily. Oh, you know, she had delivered her people. For her to do that, she had to rely on inner beauty. Outer beauty wouldn't have helped. So it's just to show us that, ladies, we can do this. So the key thing now as we wrap up is, what are my priorities? Is it getting a great hairstyle? Or getting a gentle and quiet spirit? Dressing in nice clothes? Or dressing in holiness? Showcasing my beauty or showcasing Jesus' beauty? Do I spend hours on the fashion magazines and blogs and websites? Or do I spend time in God's book of fashion, the Bible? Do I spend time prettying up my face, investing, or do I spend time investing in my heart? Choosing the right accessories or choosing to respect and obey? Do I just want to look good or do I want to be and do good? You know, do I want a makeup artist to make me over, or do I want the Holy Spirit to make me over? Just a few questions. And guys, this applies to you too. Because you know what? The Bible says that where your treasure is, your heart will be there. Your heart will be there. And so as we wrap up, I just want to leave us with a quote I came across by a guy called Heinrich Heine. He was a 19th century philosopher. And he said, show me your redeemed life, and I might be inclined to believe in your Redeemer. You know, we live in a decaying world, and it's getting darker every single day. It has certainly lost its beauty. God has called each and every one of us in this room, if you were a Christian, to be salt, to be light. You know, our inner and outer beauty should really point others to God. That's why it's important. And it gives them an opportunity to get to know the one who can give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise in place of despair. Our world is in despair. Do you know that? How do you know? Not just war. You hear it when you're in the supermarket queues. People are in despair. Think about what COVID has brought to the surface. The suicide rate is up. Domestic violence. So many other things going around. Our world is in despair. You know, but the key thing is, how can we preach the good news and say that Jesus transforms, he beautifies, if our hearts and our appearance do not reflect or testify of his power to do that in us? We cannot give what we don't have, or what we don't appear to have, might be a better way. And so God's overriding concern is that the way we present ourselves, it should not detract from, but enhance how we talk about him. And so that our lives are not a contradiction to what we say we profess. You know, my prayer today is that may there be no contradiction between our gospel message, our hearts, and our appearance. Jesus should be Lord, not just over our hearts, but also over our wardrobes.
We trust that you've been blessed, and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.